White Sox! White Sox!
Go White Sox!
1, 2, 3!
Gone. Moncada ties the game here in the ninth. Hurt him on.
1-1. Abreu is swinging a high fly deep right field.
At the wall. It's gone for a two-run homer.
Second for two on the first. Triple play. How about that one?
Now, live from the Hilton Chicago, it's special coverage of Sox Fest 2018 on the proud home of everything White Sox, WLS AM 890.
Welcome in to Sox Fest 2018, our second day of broadcast here from Salon B at the Hilton in Chicago. I'm Connor McKnight, and you know, usually to a grand entrance to these things, I say many profound thoughts at the beginning of each show, and I'm just not going to do that today because A, I don't have any, and B, Lucas Giolito is kind enough to sit down with us and hang out here at Sox Fest. How are you, Lucas? Let's make sure we got Lucas's mic up, right? Everything's good here? All right, Lucas, you're good to go. Nice to have you. How are you, sir? Enjoying Sox Fest 2018?
It's always fun to come out to Chicago.
Hold on, 1 second.
There we go. There
we were just talking about hand size in Major League Baseball, and apparently your mitts have turned off the microphone.
Yeah,
just
my
by
bad,
holding.
My bad.
Go,
but
no,
it's
clearly
it,
not your fault.
It's always great to come out to Chicago. The weather this year, as opposed to last year, is a lot better.
No joke.
You know, I hear Sox Fest is sold out, so I'm really enjoying the time out here, interacting with all these fans. It's just been great so far.
So we're doing a thing, and throughout the afternoon, we got a lot of guests, your teammates, and a couple of guys who call the game coming up. And I've thrown it out to Twitter, at C1 McKnight is the Twitter handle. And if folks have questions for you guys, they can do it on Twitter, and we'll do a couple of fan questions throughout.
Perfect,
so in case you know people are just tuning in, you can hit up on Twitter. I got the notifications open, and Lucas can see him come in, and maybe you can pick the question as it comes in.
Mm-hmm.
But the first one for you is this. What is it like to know to the difference between thinking you're going to have a job in the big leagues during a winter and knowing that you've got a job in the big leagues during a winter?
Well, despite maybe knowing or being told, all right, you're going to be in the rotation
sure.
to start the year, whatever it is, you still want to show up to spring training well-prepared. You know, we all collectively going into the offseason, we all want to make strides. We all want to improve as players. And you, to a certain extent, want to go out there and earn your spot, despite whatever you know, people in the office, managers, coaches, whatever might tell you.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be able to show up prepared and be able to earn that spot.
What's different for you personally from last winter to this winter? You know, I mean, that's the inside the line stuff. That's your job. What's different for you as Lucas?
Me personally, just the confidence is so much higher now.
Yeah.
You know, I've dealt with a lot of stuff the past couple of years, pitching wise, low confidence, some mechanical issues, trying to work through things, and finally was able to put it all together last year in Charlotte, and then get that chance to come up and have 7 starts in the big leagues. And when you can be up in the big leagues, pitching every fifth day, pitching well, pitching deep into the games, it gives you extra confidence going into the next year. You know, I feel ready to go and ready to build off of it.
I want to go back to one of your starts last season. It was against the Minnesota Twins.
Mm-hmm.
The bases were loaded. There were 2 out. There was a home run hit, just foul.
Detroit.
So not a home run.
Detroit.
Detroit. Yeah,
yeah,
my mistake. My mistake. Detroit. Oh, not that you remember this at all.
Yeah, I remember it like yesterday.
Ricky
it's
left you
thing.
Out there. He challenged you.
Yes. So, I mean, I could expand on that.
I would love for you to expand on that.
I woke up that morning and I was like, I need to get my first win in the big leagues.
Sure.
It was a long time coming. You know, with my time with the Nationals, I didn't get one. I didn't pitch very well. You know, I get traded over. I finally get my chance to come up the White Sox at the end of the year. Now, I had like 4 or 5. I'm not positive the exact number, but I had a good amount of starts in the big leagues without a win.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, you know, enough's enough. You know, I just remember waking up that morning like it's happening. And so, yeah, I ended up pitching a really good game. Defense was unreal behind me that day. They gave me a ton of runs early, so I could just kind of cruise. And then got myself into trouble in the 7th inning, right as, you know, I'm trying to, like, cap off my performance. But Ricky came out there and had some good words of encouragement and kind of, you know, was able to slow me down a little bit. And despite all that... First pitch, I just lay it in there, and I think it was shortstop for Detroit, I want to say Iglesias.
It was Jose Iglesias.
Jose Iglesias. He just completely turns on the ball right off the bat. I'm like, oh no, what did I just do? But luckily it was just foul. It just took a while for the umpires to figure it out.
We had to review that for a solid 5 or 6 minutes. Yeah. Always fun. Clearly a foul ball. What did you know what Ricky had in his mind when he was walking out there? Was there a moment of am I going to get to finish this? And once you walk off that mound, knowing that you did, getting your first major league win, the whole thing, did that set your mind in a different spot than it had been in the big leagues up to that point?
100%. That was a very special moment in my career. I'm never going to forget that. You know, when Ricky was walking out, my pitch count was starting to get up. You know, his bases loaded. Two outs. I didn't know if they were going to, a guy was warming up in the pen. I don't know if they were going to bring him in. I didn't know what was going to happen, but he just, you know, came up, assured me that, you know, I was the guy for the situation. We were going to do it and get out of the inning and go on to win the game. And, bought into that completely. And luckily, were able to get a ground out right there and, got my first win out of it.
I don't know if you remember. We're talking with Lucas Giolito here at SoxFest 2018. I'm Connor McKnight, special edition of White Sox Weekly. We're on from noon until 3. Plenty of guests throughout the afternoon. Nicky Delmonico, Carlos Rodon, Tim Anderson, Jason Benetti, all stopping by today. We had Ed and DJ on earlier. Lucas, I don't know if you remember. I think it was right before your last start of the year. You and I had a chance to sit down in the dugout and talked a little bit. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we talked about was pitch mix. Mm-hmm. And what you chose to use, how you and Coop kind of worked together to use it. As you came into the bigs, your curveball was a massive weapon from all the scouting reports. And obviously you still use that there. I wonder if conversations with Coop this last season and as you go into spring training, if that pitch mix is something that you're ready to change, comfortable to change, or if that's something that that curveball is something you're ready to utilize as more of a weapon this season.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be prepared to throw the curveball more. Last season, I had some trouble with the feel for it. You know, there'd be some days where it felt good, I'd throw a good amount of them, then other days where, you know, didn't feel great in the pen, I'm not landing at first strike, and we kind of put it on the back burner, I'd throw a lot more changeups or sliders. But, I've already started some drills, just like some simple drills to get that feel, get that spin early. And, I'm looking forward to utilizing the curveball more and just mixing everything, honestly.
I think this will be a question for everybody as they come up to the desk here at SoxFest. But this is something Carlos Rodon, I was on a panel last night with all the first-round picks mm-hmm. of the White Sox over the last couple of years. And Carlos mentioned to a fan, you know, talk about expectations, that it's, you know, players know that fans have expectations for you, that front offices have expectations. And Carlos kind of drove the point home that nobody's expectations are as high as my own for myself. And this is kind of the question we had on Twitter from Jen Berman on Twitter. What would you consider the benchmarks of a great season for you, Lucas, personally, in 2018? And it kind of hits on your own expectations likely being as high as anybody else's.
Yeah. As a pitcher, I'm a perfectionist, so I mean, always trying to make everything as good as possible. I mean, no player is ever complacent with where they're at. If you are, then you're not going to make it. You're not going to last very long. You have guys that are on their way to the Hall of Fame that are still trying to improve their game every single day. So, I mean, me personally, big goal of mine, throw 200 innings this year. If I throw 200 innings, if I give the club 200 innings, that means that, you know, I'm pitching deep into the games. I'm giving the team a chance to win more often than not. And, going out there and kind of being that workhorse that a team needs. So, yeah, that's one of my main goals. And I feel like when you're throwing 200 innings, all the other stats will kind of take care of themselves to a certain extent.
You happen to have a guy in your rotation who has thrown 200 innings.
Oh, yeah.
In many, I think 35 consecutive seasons.
Yeah.
James Shields is who we're talking about.
Yeah.
I wonder, you know, we talk a lot about the youth in this team. Mm-hmm. James, though, regardless of where he is, knows how to teach, I think, to a certain degree. And there's also an idea of leading by example, you know, knowing that you don't have to be necessarily rah-rah, because I don't know that that's what it is in baseball as it is in perhaps other sports, but what's it been like knowing that you've got a veteran like that who that specific goal he's achieved many, many times?
Yeah, I mean, we've had conversations about it while I was up. I mean, he's done a fantastic job of taking the younger pitchers kind of under his wing, especially starting pitchers as we've come up. and you know, sharing stories about you know, just fun things that have happened during his career, sharing stories about you know, things you need to do if you want to get to the big leagues, you want to stay there, you know, you want to be an impact player. Just being able to work with a guy like that and be able to learn so much from him, it's completely invaluable. So, yeah, I can't wait to get to spring training. I think he's got some fun stuff prepared for us. So, yeah, we're gonna have a good time for sure.
On the flip side, you know, you watched a guy who's been in the league for, you know, like we said, 35 years, James Shields. You watched him change his entire thing with the drop down and completely reinventing himself.
Yeah.
You're not at that point, you know. I mean, you've got to get what you've got going in the big leagues. But knowing that guys do that, knowing that veterans can find that next way to win, what does that teach you?
It shows, like I was touching on earlier, having that confidence in yourself. You know, being able to persevere through whatever it may be. Yeah, I mean, James, like, hey, I need to change something up. I think it was just in the middle of his start.
In Boston, yeah.
He just started throwing from that lower slot and was kind of surprising everyone, but it's nasty stuff, so why not do it? I mean, that's just, like, having that confidence in yourself that, like, you know what, I'm up on the mound. Like, I don't care who steps in the box. Like, you know, I'm going to do what I need to do to get you out and win this game, and whether that be – start throwing lefty, start throwing sidearm. It is what it is. So being able to see that, and you know, now he's really starting to hone it in. He looked really good in September, in my opinion. And yeah, I think that he's going to come with some really good stuff this year, and kind of be able to lead our staff a little bit and kind of show us the way.
Seems to me that you've got to have some severe swagger to go out as a right-handed junk baller these days. I mean, knowing what guys can do to baseballs and knowing where the home run rates were at, I wonder, you know, as this ball has jumped a little bit more, as, you know, this game has changed some, can you, when is the right time as a pitcher, you know, either with Coop or with your coaches, to talk about how better to attack guys, you know, at your point in development?
Because, like, all we talk time. About, really? Talk about it all the time. Yeah. In bullpens, in meetings, after starts, when you're watching tape, you know, before starts, when you're going down the lineup and learning about these hitters, just constantly finding ways, different ways to get these guys out. Because, you know, hitters, they're smart. They're going to learn your tendencies, they're going to learn your patterns. That stuff is, you know, on sheet of paper they get every day to a certain extent as well. So, yeah, we'll be in the bullpen. I'm working on trying to command the fastball to the outer half, and then, you know, Coop will be like, hey, you think you could backdoor slider real quick? You know, let's see if you could, you know, let's say a lefty's in the box and it's like a 1-2 count. And, you know, what if you get him by surprise, backdoor slider? I'd never done that before. And then in September, in the bullpen, I'm, like, practicing backdoor sliders. Next game, I end up striking guy out trying to throw a backdoor slider. So it didn't look very good, but it surprised him. So it is what it is. And so that's what it is in baseball, constantly trying to find ways to improve, trying to find ways to change it up. And it's good stuff.
A few years ago, working for another shop, I was covering the team on the north side, which really only means I had a chance to talk with Wellington Castillo a little bit. I wonder if you've had a chance to sit down with him. Sounds like he's going to be, you know, a guy that catches you maybe more often than not. I know he's brand new to the team, but what's conversation with him been like?
I had a chance to introduce myself and say, hey, man, can't wait to start working together. He, you know, the first thing he said is, hey, we're going to be good.
Yeah.
And so when you got the catcher saying that and you can already have that kind of confidence in each other, then it's just going to continue to grow. I mean, they have us running around all over the place, so I haven't had a chance to really sit down and talk to him yet, but I'm really looking forward to it.
You got to run to the next spot, too. But before we let you go, you know, the White Sox did on Twitter the day in the life of Lucas Giolito. Oh, yeah. We have watched the video. I'm trying to get it to load. I don't think the internet's going to let me do it. But how close is that, you know, to your everyday life? I think a lot of White Sox fans have seen this and watched it. The retweets went through the roof. But
yeah, no,
that's you.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I did on a daily basis until my girlfriend and I adopted a puppy.
Oh, God.
So it's kind of change the schedule a little bit. I got to wake up at 7 in the morning every day, take them out, and have a little bit more responsibility. But, you know, it's not a bad thing. We're having a lot of fun
with
it.
It's a good thing for you at this point.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, for sure.
Excellent. Glad to hear. Well, Lucas, thanks so much for stopping by. Really appreciate you hanging out. Enjoy Sox Fest. We'll see you in spring training.
Thanks so much. Yeah, appreciate
Lucas Giolito, everybody, hanging out here on White Sox Weekly. We got to take a quick break. We'll do that right now, and I'll let you know what's going on the rest of the afternoon when we come back. I'm Connor McKnight, White Sox Weekly at Sox Fest 2018. This is WLS AM 890.
There's a swing and a long one to left. Tag bag, is it enough? He's hit his 400th, has Paul Konerko to tie the game at 2. Paul, nicely done. Congratulations.
The Sox play here
on the WLS White Sox Radio Network.
Welcome back to a very special edition of White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. We are live at Sox Fest 2018. I'm Connor McKnight, and we've got you for the next 3 hours here at Sox Fest. We'll be here till 3 in the afternoon, and we've got a whole list of guests coming by the desk, hanging out and talking White Sox baseball over the next 3 hours or so. We just got done talking with Lucas Giolito, who is, talking to a couple of these guys, and I think I mentioned when we were talking to Lucas, I hosted the First Rounders panel. So it was Jake Berger, and it was Zach Collins, and Carlos Rodon, and Tim Anderson, and Carson Fulmer, and the scouting director, Nick Hostetler, who was up there. And this was last night after our show. And in talking with a lot of the young guys, maybe Collins and Berger accepted because they are, you know, a lot more focused on their own minor league development at this point. But, you know, especially Tim Anderson, the excitement about stepping up to that next level, the excitement about knowing that there are a lot of guys, you know, in that class with him, for lack of a better word. I know that's technically the same rookie class, but they're... it's palpable, and it's here too, and it's not just players, and it's not just front office people. It's Sox fans that have come up to the desk and let us know that they are really pumped for the coming season. It's people who have, you know, called the show and let us know that they are very much looking forward to seeing that next step taken. So I think that's going to be a focus of our afternoon here today. And again, like I said, we're here until 3. Jason Benetti is scheduled to stop by about 12:45 or so. Jason knows that he has a standing invitation to White Sox Weekly and is allowed to come on the show whenever he likes. It's kind of like the reverse Matt Damon, Jimmy Kimmel thing. He actually gets to come on the show. It's the opposite for those two fellas. Nicky Delmonico is going to hang out at 1 o'clock. Carlos Rodon right after the 1:30 news. And Tim Anderson is going to be here right after the 2:30 news. We're done at 3 today, but back Sunday from noon until 1. Ricky Renteria is going to be here at 12:45. Wait, let me make sure I'm reading the... nope, I'm not. 12:15, Ricky Renteria is going to be here tomorrow. And then Jake Berger as well. I think that's something after 12:30. Jake Berger has been an attraction here at Sox Fest 2018, the White Sox first-round pick this last season. He's sporting a new haircut. He's completely shaved off the whole thing. Had the long flowing locks for a while, and talking to him yesterday, it sounded like he said, his words, not mine, he said it took him 2 hours to shave his head. So I don't know if he was watching a movie or trying to write a book while he was doing it, or perhaps trying to repair a car or something. I don't know how it takes 2 hours to shave your head, but apparently it did for Jake. We'll get to the bottom of that and many other things with Jake tomorrow afternoon. We'll also hear from Eloy Jimenez at some point, either this afternoon or next. Promise that. We talked with one of the White Sox top prospects yesterday, recorded it, laid it down for you so we can bring it back today or tomorrow. Just kind of depends on how time pans out there. So that's what we're up to this afternoon. You can do this. It's something we're trying to do here at Sox Fest 2018. Hit us up on Twitter, at C1McKnight. That's the Twitter handle. If you want to ask a question to either Nicky Delmonico or Carlos Rodon or Tim Anderson or Jason Benetti, who's coming up next at 12:45, you can do so. You can throw it at us on Twitter, at C1McKnight. We'll ask one of the best questions to our guests as they come around, and you get to be a part of the show right there. Even if you're walking around Sox Fest and you've got the internet in the palm of your hand, you can hit us up on Twitter that way and let us know what you want to ask your favorite White Sox players on the show. In talking with Lucas, we talked with Lucas Giolito just a few minutes ago. One of the things I brought up, and it's actually one of my, I think it might be one of my favorite moments of the 2017 season. Not that there weren't a couple, because there really were. But seeing Ricky Renteria walk out there against the Detroit Tigers, we were talking about the game earlier. It was Lucas Giolito's first major league win. The bases are loaded, and Jose Iglesias is up to bat. Kind of a precarious situation. Two outs in the inning, and Lucas is trying to nail things down. I think a seeing eye single and a couple of walks had loaded the bases for Lucas. And here comes Ricky Renteria out of the dugout to talk things over with his young starter, a guy who had just been called up, a guy who, at this point, you remember Lucas had been shut down for the last, I think it was the last 2 weeks of the season, but, you know, that wasn't in the cards then. It was, you know, push here and finish out the rest of the year. Do what you can now. Let's see it. And you just heard Lucas talk about it. He woke up that morning knowing, feeling, believing that he had to get his first win right then and there. So all that going into the game, all that going into, and these are the little things that, you know, we don't know going into that day that, that Rick does know, that Renteria does know. I wouldn't be surprised at all if it at some point that afternoon or that morning, I guess, Lucas had mentioned that I'm out here to win this ball game today, regardless. So that conversation happens. Ricky walked back off the mound and a foul ball deep, nearly a grand slam, almost ruins the entire afternoon. The challenge was issued, though, from manager to starter, and I thought that was, I think it's one of my favorite moments of the season because we saw right then and there the tangible handing down to the next class of White Sox players. We saw the development pushed right then and there. Maybe it is better, you know, for the long term, for winning that specific game, to take Lucas out in that situation. Maybe you can find better matchups in your bullpen. Maybe later on down the line, when that game is late in September and you're pushing for a playoff spot, you're trying to make a decision that guarantees you the game, so to speak. But for that moment right then and there, the best move was to let Lucas push through that. I think we're going to see more moments like that in 2018. I think we're going to see these young guys take charge of those opportunities. And I think you're going to see more of those opportunities handed to them by the coaching staff when they come around. Baseball is can be such a reactionary sport. You know, the other guys are making money too and trying to beat you every day they can. But I'm going to be very interested, and I think these are some of the questions, a lot of the questions that Sox fans have asked Rick Hahn and Ricky Renteria at some of the seminars last night and early this morning. When do we see this next step? How does this work? And the answer has been essentially this: you'll know it when you see it. I think last year, the one we're talking about, that Lucas Giolito start, is absolutely a you-know-it-when-you-see-it moment. I think we'll see a lot more of those in 2018 as well. We got a break for the news at 12:30, so we'll do that here. Jason Benetti is scheduled to join us at 12:45. He's a broadcaster for the White Sox television broadcast, in case you didn't know. I'm Connor McKnight. We got a special edition of White Sox Weekly out here at Sox Fest 2018, here until 3. We're in Salon B downstairs. Come and say hello. We would love to talk to you. We'll be here all afternoon. I'm Connor, WLS, AM 890.
What's your favorite White Sox memory?
Easy. Mark Burley's perfect game. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Great shot to short. Ramirez has it. Throws. Burley picks the perfect game. His second no-hitter.
Still get the goosebumps every time I think about it.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight, and we're broadcasting from Sox Fest 2018. Just had our first guest of the afternoon. Talked with Lucas Giolito for a while, and in case you want to go back and listen to some of the interviews, you know, we got a lot of content here last night, today, and tomorrow afternoon. We're here from noon until 1 tomorrow. You can head over to the website, WLSAM.com/White Sox. Our producer is Tyler Bravo today, and he has the unenviable task of taking all of these interviews and dropping them into podcast form. You know, usually during the offseason, we just get an hour with you, but three hours today, one tomorrow, hour and a half yesterday. Okay, so it's something like 6 hours of content that Tyler's going to be dropping onto the website. So you will definitely want to taste the fruits of his labor. It's all going to be up there and downloadable in just a few hours. Well, actually, shouldn't put that deadline on Tyler. That's not fair to him. We'll have Lucas Giolito. We'll have Jason Benetti. We'll have Nicky Delmonico. We'll have Carlos Rodon. And we will have Tim Anderson as well to cap off the afternoon here in Salon B. Got some White Sox luminaries walking around the stage here. John Howell of our morning show is here as well. So we got the whole station out here to hang out. If you want, We've got a picture booth, and you can charge your phone, and we got a Kinect. It's actually a Kinect 6, I think, situation. Kinect 4. It is Kinect 4, but I think they're, I don't know, is that regulation size? We've got a big Kinect 4 thing. I don't know if it's regulation with the, as many spots as you want to drop in there. Anywho, we were talking a bit about what the next stage of this club is going to look like, and mostly talking about it because I've noticed that in the seminars and in the conversations that Sox fans are having with Rick Renteria and Rick Hahn, that's been the question that have most been asked here at Sox Fest. So I figured we'd pick it up where you guys have left off. I think the next stage is going to be a lot of fun to watch and interesting in that one of the things Rick Hahn will talk about quite a bit is that prospect development is not linear. In very few cases do guys arrive the way Eloy Jimenez has from high A into double A and just absolutely crushed. Very few pitchers do what Michael Kopech did and go from double A into triple A and manage just fine going into the next level. Just fine, thank you. He's mentioned, Hahn has, that there are development benchmarks for both of those young men and for all of the White Sox prospects. And even for, you know, guys like Lucas, guys like Ronaldo Lopez, guys like Tim Anderson, guys like Nicky Delmonico, who are at the very beginning of their major league careers, development doesn't stop. It continues throughout, and guys get to next level of being major league stars, too. I thought some of the new guys that have been added to this roster, though, are kind of interesting case studies in how the next step, so to speak, gets accomplished. Wellington Castillo was added from Baltimore on a couple-year deal to be the what I would assume is the starting catcher for the White Sox. Kevin Smith and Omar Narvaez, who did a lot of the duty behind home plate last year, still with the team, of course, saw Kevin yesterday. He's had a nice little spring training. They've got a new daughter, the whole thing, new kid. And some of the bullpen arms, too, are pretty interesting ones. They swung a three-way trade to the White Sox and picked up Joaquin Soria and Luis Avilan of the Royals and Dodgers, respectively, to round out a bullpen that, you know, has really had to rebound from as many trades as the White Sox made last season. I don't have to remind anybody that Tommy Canley and Anthony Swarzak and David Robertson and, you know, all those guys, they're not like Dan Jennings. I'm probably forgetting some, seeing as there were so many arms dealt last season. They're no longer with the club, and they've had to kind of repair some spots. Nate Jones is back. Joaquin Soria here, too. Juan Minaya had a few of the ninth-inning duties late last season. And I think it's been interesting to kind of see, and as we talk about what the next step looks like and how these young men are thrown into situations, it will be really interesting to see, I think, at least interesting to me, how the bullpen is used by Ricky Renteria in the coming season. He's been asked a couple of times, and so has Rick Hahn, about whether there is a closer on this club now. Obviously, Joaquin Soria has handled those duties before for the Royals, and Sox fans don't need much reminding about that. I think it'll be fun to watch Nate Jones coming back into this bullpen. Soria to Minaya there. What the addition of guys like Soria and Avilan do for Ricky Renteria and the White Sox in general is allow, I think, you know, hopefully, Renteria and Don Cooper to pick spots for guys like Aaron Bummer, for guys like Jace Fry, for guys like Minaya, for guys perhaps like Thiago Vieira, who was added from the Mariners this offseason as well, to pitch in situations that benefit them, you know, good situations for them, good matchups for them, when you can still find places that the games are quote-unquote on the line. You know, tight spots in the sixth or seventh that you want to go ahead and test your young pitchers in, see what they've got, and still have those veterans, Soria, perhaps Avilan, perhaps, you know, Nate Jones, throwing in and backing those guys up. That wasn't there in the last 2 months of 2017 for obvious reasons because of the trades. But perhaps that's where you start to develop some of those, you know, some of the nails that you need in the back end of that bullpen that you need, you know, as we've seen teams get to the playoffs over the last 3, 4, 5 seasons, they have bullpens that are terrifying from the sixth into the ninth innings. And, you know, that's what you're trying to, you know, at some point make out of a lot of these young relievers. I think, too, you know, what you've got in Wellington Castillo, we mentioned him as one of the additions the White Sox did make this last offseason. Castillo is a guy who, you know, I think it's been interesting to watch. One of the better offensive catchers in the American League. He's put things together with a bat and been challenged. He's talked about this a bit too, especially when he did a press conference with some White Sox beat reporters when he did sign with the Sox. He's been challenged by organization he's been with over the last 2-3 years to get better defensively, to improve his game, you know, in an all-around status, not be just the bat behind the plate, but to be a guy that can frame, to be the guy that can, you know, hold up his end of the bargain, I suppose, for his starters and buy a strike here or there. Lucas Giolito, who we had on the show, mentioned he had a chance to talk briefly with Wellington Castillo. The confidence was there, and I think a bond was formed early, but you know, most of the bulk of that work gets hammered out as soon as pitchers and catchers report. It's part of why they go down there 2 weeks before anybody else, is because there's a lot of gelling to do. There's a lot of conversations to have, and there's a lot of, you know, same pages to get on as well. This is White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. We've got our next guest in the bullpen, so we'll bring him up in just a few. We got to take a quick break here, and we'll be back on the other side with White Sox broadcaster Jason Benetti. A list of scheduled guests for the rest of the afternoon includes Nicky Delmonico, Carlos Rodon, and Tim Anderson. Perhaps some surprises as we go. But we'll take a quick break here and be back with Jason Benetti on the other side. This is WLS AM 890.
Yoan Moncada swinging a fly ball deep center field. This is tagged. But the track is at the wall. The kid's hit his first home run.
Moncada, that's what you call leaning on the breaking ball.
Yeah. A memorable moment.
A good handful of memorable moments for the White Sox in 2017 as the youngsters took control and started to run with things late into the season. We'll hope for expect a few more memorable moments in 2018 as the youngsters take an even bigger stride forward. That is the hope for the White Sox and certainly what they've been building toward. I'm Connor McKnight here on a special edition of White Sox Weekly going all the way up until 3. We'll be back tomorrow afternoon as well from noon until 1. It is our pleasure to be joined by, I have to check the list here. I don't know everyone's name.
It's 77 Cars for Kids. K-A-R-S Cars for Kids.
I've always said, Jason, you know you've made it on a real radio station when you've got Cars for Kids playing you in and out of each and every break.
Donate those cars today.
It's Jason Benetti of the White Sox broadcast on television. Hi, Jason.
Oh, hey, Connor. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's been good to see you. Moderated a couple of seminars.
I wouldn't call them moderate.
No, I wouldn't either. There was singing. You were asked about your favorite karaoke song in one of them.
There was, yeah. No, I won't do it.
No, I wasn't going to ask you. No, we have rights issues there.
That's right.
Well, we'd have to pay. We'd have to, if you started singing, we can't.
Everyone has to pay when I start singing.
Every time DJ sings Happy Birthday on the air, our producer Dave just head goes right into the table because that's money to the attorneys of Patty Smith and whomever else owns that thing.
Yeah,
I watched Sports Night once or twice.
Uh-huh.
But I wonder for you, my friend, the off season that you've had. You go through a whirlwind every winter. You've got bowl games. You've got college hoops. You've got more broadcasts here and there. I don't want you to take shots at other sports, but if you do them on this show. Is coming back to baseball a bit like coming home for you?
Yeah. So here's the thing about it. Number one, it's the Sox, and it's not like nothing against all the college teams I cover, but I wasn't a huge fan.
Sure.
Right? So the other thing about it is when I come to Sox Fest or when I go in the clubhouse, I've been thinking about this. My first Sox Fest, I was like, and you are, and this is regarding,
right.
And you, I think, are someone I know. Now it's like, okay, these players, some of them have been with the organization for less time than I have.
Right.
Some of the trade pieces, like a Blake Rutherford, who I just met this weekend. It's so nice to be able to have a history with the people I'm covering and to have kind of that feeling of community. It's just different when I'm with the Sox, and that's nothing against all those games because I love going into shoot-arounds and I love seeing football practices. I learn from other coaches, and it's wonderful, but there's something different about being here, and it's simply that these guys know me, I know them,
right.
And you kind of build that understanding with each other.
What is your, because last couple spring trainings you've kind of parachuted in and out a little bit, done a couple games here and there because you do still do other broadcasts. Is that the plan for this spring training as well?
The parachute's out of the budget. We blew the budget completely on the 24-hour three-game thing in September, so the parachute's out. No, the plan in spring training is to come in and out. I do have some ESPN obligations to fulfill during basketball season, but the White Sox take precedent over that. So if there's something I can fit in within the schedule, the framework of the White Sox, I do it. But I'll be at spring training at least twice. A trip in February and a trip in March, because I love getting down there. I love seeing the guys. You know how the clubhouse is.
Absolutely.
You have much more opportunity to talk about whatever and wherever and learn some things about the players you wouldn't hear otherwise.
I think that's where I try and use spring training the best I can, is to, and over the last couple, I've tried to learn how to better hear from guys who know more than I do what to look for in players and what they've seen from some players.
That's not many, though. People who know more than you do.
It's literally everyone who's there wearing a White Sox anything. That's that list, and then we go on from there. But I, you know, in this spring training, it's going to be different to see some of these young kids who, we had Lucas Giolito on the show a little earlier. Some guys know they have jobs now, as opposed to working for jobs while they're down there in Glendale. And I wonder if that's become apparent to you in talking to some of these guys and seeing, hearing the confidence.
You do see it in the confidence. I mean, just talking to Yolmer Sanchez and seeing the way he's kind of come out of his shell. Not that he wasn't...
He had a shell?
Well, publicly, he wasn't the same effusive, overwhelmingly nice personality. He just kind of, he was a little more reserved in previous years because he didn't know exactly where he stood, I think. I mean, you add responsibility to talent and you get confidence and you get leadership. I think that's what happens once you have that foundation of talent, and then you say, look, we need you, rather than we'll use you sometimes. There's an added swell of confidence there, and that's happening with so many of these players. I mean, even Michael Kopech, who knows now if he does everything the organization asks, he's coming.
I wonder, you know, as this team evolves and as these young guys come into the major leagues, how do you and Steve want the broadcast to evolve over the next year? Have you sat down and thought
way
about
less fun?
So much less fun.
Looking for more boring.
I've sat down with Ed and DJ time and time again and said, fellas, less fun in the broadcast.
Fun.
It's just too much.
Yeah. So I was talking about this yesterday with a couple people. We did minor league stuff last year. We will continue as long as I have anything to say about it to do minor league stuff, even when it's not, okay, all these prospects, right? Like, we should know about the next Sox all the time.
Always. Yeah.
We should just know about that because having spent a lot of time in the minor leagues, you get to know players and their tendencies so well there. Like, when we have the Nationals in a couple years, I had the Nationals in AAA for years. I know things about those guys that other people just wouldn't know because I saw them in the minors. But I think what you'll see more of this year is more of a conversation about the nuances of these players. You know Eloy Jimenez's name. You know Blake Rutherford, Dylan Cease. Okay, now what are they working on? Why are they not here yet? What is the goal for this week for them? That sort of thing. So talking to the managers, talking to the coaches, talking to Chris Getz about actual specific skill development, I think is something that you'll see more of in our show this year.
What do you think about the lineup that you, really the roster that the White Sox figure to have this coming season? We were talking a little bit before you came on about the bullpen. I'm very, because I'm a bullpen nerd, I'm very intrigued.
You didn't have to say bullpen.
Yeah, you're right. I'm very intrigued as to how Ricky's going to use his guys and into that ninth, if there's going to be a closer, or if because of the guys he has, he can be a little bit more matchup and have some fun with it. Are there spots where you're, you know, as nerded out about a bullpen as I am, to see how things develop and see how things may change?
I'm going to take a Rick Hahn tack here. Well, there's always an opportunity for a transaction.
There you go.
Here's what's fun. Anthony Swarzak and Tommy Canley last year. What do you got in those guys? What do you have?
Nothing.
Kind of like trash heap
going
reclamation project.
Mm-hmm. Tommy wasn't supposed to be on the team.
No. And probably wasn't going to be if he didn't throw strikes in spring training, just being totally honest.
Yeah.
Probably wasn't going to be.
Well, and if Jake, he went down with the lat injury day two.
Yeah. If that doesn't happen, who knows? So I don't know. It's like Rob Scahill is interesting to me.
Local guy, yeah.
Yeah. So what is he going to be, the good version, the better version? And if he is he an opportunity to get him somewhere else? Mm-hmm. You know, that goes for all these guys. I mean, how valuable will they be? And who's going to be that multiple inning guy out of the bullpen? Because I think that's something the Sox, especially once the players were traded last year, Mike Pelfrey was that guy. Just go get some outs. Like, please go get some outs so we can save the wear and tear. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not getting outs, you put everybody at risk of injury. I mean, honestly, if you're having to overuse people because there's ineffectiveness, then you suddenly have to go deeper because of the possibility of wear and tear.
We've read a lot about changes to the actual game this offseason and potential changes to how quickly we may or may not get through these things.
I think add a second ball.
Where does the second ball start? Center field?
No, I mean, pitcher throws one.
Okay.
And then if it goes in play, the batter has an opportunity to have a second ball be thrown rather than leave the box.
Okay. I like it.
No, you don't.
Balls. No, I don't understand how it works at all. No.
I don't either. Okay. It's actually still in the workshop.
Let's work this out during the commercial break. Okay. As for now, what do you think about pitch clocks? What do you think about speeding things up the best way?
I saw in the minors. Enforce the rules. Get in the box.
You're talking about guys moving through.
Yeah.
Like when
get in the box.
Was it 3 years ago when we had David Ortiz actually speeding up through an at bat?
Yeah. I mean,
it was fun.
Get in the box.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I don't think the pitch clock is going to be nearly as abrasive and as kind of godlike as people think. You know, like the game is not supposed to have a timer. Well, the timer doesn't come into play unless the pitcher is very slow.
Right.
I mean, it's not like, okay, 8 seconds, got to go. Nobody's going to be feeling like they're in that much of a rush. From what I've heard from players and what I heard from minor league people, I mean, there were not very many times in the minors, from what I've heard, where people are saying, oh, that really hurt my pitcher because it sped him up. Just throw. And I know it's not that simple.
Right. I just get the sense that Jason's talking about the minors. Talk with Jason Benetti here on White Sox Weekly for a couple more minutes at Sox Fest 2018. We're talking about the pitch clock change and what may happen with baseball this coming season. It does sound like unilaterally the commissioner's office is going to make some changes without the blessing of the union. For whatever that's worth, the game may change some, and Jason's bringing up the minor leagues because those rules have been involved in minor league baseball.
Triple A and Double A has had a pitch clock for the last couple of years.
For the last couple. And it just seems to me that, you know, you mentioned your first thought on that was enforce the rules that are already there. And I couldn't agree with you more on that. I just wonder, has the depth of study of actual effective game in the minor leagues really been what baseball wanted to get out of it? Or are these rules... I'm just kind of spitballing here, but are these rules just rules that
are
they
need for
to throw in? Yeah, exactly.
Even if they are, you can say you did something. I'm not for that, but I do
well, that's
think...
that's eyewash, and baseball hates eyewash.
Sure, unless you want to put Spider-Man on the bases.
Well...
That didn't go so hot. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, that was Spider-Man 2,
yeah.
Or was it 3? Which was a god-awful movie. I think it was 2.
I would have agreed with 8. I have no idea. But my feeling is there's got to be some efficacy. If there was zero efficacy, they wouldn't have done it. Yeah. They wouldn't have done it in the majors. I also think it's a mindset, though. If there's a clock, it causes people to think about speed in some regard, that it is actually a priority rather than, well, I'll do it on my own time. I just think the actual device being there...
Yeah.
Is more important than the amount of time on the clock, unless it is like 8 seconds. I mean, just having it there changes the psychology, I think, for pitchers.
Yeah, it's studies that know if you know you're being watched, you change your outlook, and if you don't know you're being watched, you don't know that either. It's an interesting way to look at it. I guess, you know, Jason, we let you go here because I think we're up against the break eventually.
Nicky's coming, right?
What's that?
Nicky Delmonico.
Yeah, Nicky Delmonico is going to stop by at 1 o'clock. We'll talk with him.
Ask
so
what his favorite
far.
Food is. He says chicken fingers.
Chicken
to me,
fingers.
Which I think he's 11.
Honey mustard, chicken fingers, and a good fry.
Yeah, yeah.
We're talking
just
about here?
Like get him like a little cocktail dogs or something, or like those little corns, like on Big.
How do they make them that small? I don't understand.
Eat it like a typewriter.
So I wonder this: as you leave here halfway through Sox Fest,
yeah, Were we at the halfway mark?
Well, I figure I'm putting you halfway through Soxfest right now. At least I feel about halfway through Soxfest, I suppose. I don't know. Yesterday.
Tomorrow. Round down. It's been fun.
It has been a lot of fun. What's been the most fun so far for you? You've done a lot of panels, and what are you most looking forward to that we can go ahead and, you know, we got a lot of Sox fans here and listening. What should they go see you at in the next 24 hours?
I actually suggest they go see everybody else. My favorite thing that's happened so far was the Yolmer Sanchez card trick that I just got to experience. There was a kids only press conference.
Sure.
The kids got to ask the questions.
One of the highlights of Soxfest every single year.
I love it. The question was, what's your favorite prank you've ever pulled? And Yolmer said, my card trick. And everybody said, well, let's see it. And he pulled a deck of cards out of his pocket. And I was like, would you travel with everything? Like,
yeah.
He'd make so much money on Let's Make a Deal. Yeah, the guy with the playing cards, you get $20. So he pulls out this deck of cards. He says, pick a card. I pick a card. It's a 12, which, okay.
What?
So I look at the card. I show it to the audience. I put it on the ground. He says, okay, pick two piles. You put them in three piles. Pick two piles. I do. He flips them up. Face up, and he goes, just reach down and touch one card. Now, I understand that this probably means something bad's going to happen to me,
yeah,
because Tim Anderson's filming it on his phone.
Yeah.
So I take two steps back and, like, as delicately as possible, with my head still up, reach down to point at one of the cards, and he hits me over the head with the rest of the cards and says, that's the trick.
That is...
He's a pain in the rear.
Yes, he is, and I would love to have him in the clubhouse and the White Sox do, and it's going to be a blast.
He is such a funny guy.
That he is.
He was wearing his kid's sweater, though, yesterday. Noah?
His child's sweater?
I think so. Well, they're
Yolmer
the same size.
I was going to say, Yolmer fits into this probably pretty well.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The
I told
muscle
him
shirt.
To bring it back to Toys R Us.
Jason, as always, a pleasure sitting down with you. We'll catch you around.
Thanks, Connor.
You got it.
Always fun. You do a wonderful job.
Well, thank you, Jason. You do, too. We'll talk to you later. This is Jason Benetti.
I know I have historically I'm sarcastic, but I actually mean that.
Thank you.
You do a wonderful job. You're a great baseball guy, and it's always great sitting down with you.
Thanks, my man. We got news next. Nikki Delmonico at 1 o'clock. I'm Connor McKnight. This is White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.